A number of years ago, Wendy's began an ad campaign that kind of took off and affected a generation. For those of you that are old enough, and if you remember this, it will kind of show your age, because this began in 1984. An older woman stood over a large bun with a little dark burnt piece of meat and looked at it and said, "Where's the beef?" And for a generation, we use that phrase, "Where's the beef?" to mean kind of what's going on. Is what you say matching up with what you do? We're going to talk today about the subject of where's the love. Last week, we began our series on such love and talked about the importance of an attitude of love, that we said holiness of hands, true holiness of hands, can only grow out of holiness of heart. And we discussed and spent a significant amount of time focusing on and asking ourselves the question, what is my heart? Do I have a heart of love for others? Today we're going to shift that a little bit, because you may have walked away last week saying, "Oh, good. If I've got the right heart, that's fine. I don't have to do anything about it. Just kind of think right, love right, have the right attitude, and everything's fine." Wrong. That's not true. We move today to the second part, in which we begin to look at where's the love? How does that love demonstrate itself in the life of the believer? How does my having that attitude, how does that having my heart of love, how does that then demonstrate and play out in my day-to-day living? Now, I don't know about you, but the fact of the matter is, sometimes when it comes to things like this, I try to go into negotiations with God. Because the fact of the matter is, or at least I find this to be true, and I think I'm probably not the only one in this room that feels this way, there are some people that are really easy to love, aren't there? Okay, bang your heads up and down like the Taco Bell dog so I know you're awake. So yes, there are some people that are easy to love, but there are one or two people that it's a stretch. I hope it's not your spouse, but that it's a stretch. Sometimes it is difficult for us to love some people. And so we want to go into negotiation with God when we're talking about how that plays out. We say, "Well, God, I know that you say that I need to have this attitude of love, and now you're telling me, and now Jerry's going to tell me about how I need to act on that, and I really want to do that, but you know that person? You know them? Do I really have to love them? Tell you what, Lord, I will, I'll do some extra stuff. I'll sow some extra stuff for love over this person, as long as I don't have to love them." But unfortunately, God says to us, it is our responsibility to love the whole body of Christ. That we can't negotiate with God, and we can't say, okay, you focus on these, you focus on these easy to love people, and these hard to love people, you kind of let them go. No, there's no negotiations with God. In fact, what God tells us is this, that love really is not only love for God, but it's love for others as well. And as it says, love is not so much on what, our focus is not so much on what love is, but rather on what love does and does not do. In other words, as he moves into verse 4 and following in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we are going to look at verse 4 this morning, as we move into these, he shifts the focus from a focus of attitude to a focus of action. And he talks to us about the fact that love is not just only how we feel and what our attitude is, but it's also in how we live out that attitude towards others and what we do and don't do. In fact, I would suggest to you that love is really fully and completely only love when it acts. that love, I can say that I love, but if that love for others does not come out in actions, then there's something wrong. And I would go further to say that really, if I look at a job description for me as a Christian, and as I look at a job description for you as Christians, our job description really is simply this: love God and love one another. And love not only one another, love our neighbor. Love the person who's easy to love, but sometimes, and God calls us to love the person who's not always so easy to love. And how do we do that? Do you want to know how to do that? Shake your heads, yes, please, or just go back to sleep. We are going to look this morning at kind of the foundation of how we act out and how we demonstrate that love, and what I call the five pillars that are the five foundation pillars found in verse 4, in which he says these words: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And in these, I find these five characteristics that are important for us to live out in our lives. Well, let's look at the first of these. The first of these is that love practices being patient. It's not just a one-time deal. It's not just a one-time situation where, okay, I was patient with this person one time, now I don't have to be patient with them anymore. No, patience is something that is practiced. It is something that is a process rather than an event. It is used in this context, this word is used almost exclusively of patience with other people. Now, it is not used, this is not the word that's used with patience with ourselves. I don't know about you, but it is very easy for me to be patient with myself. I cut myself slack all of the time. But it is difficult to be patient with others. See, I often have two sets of rules. One set of rules for everybody else and a set of rules for me. And I'm patient with me, but not patient with them. But this is not the word. The word that is used here is the word that is used for being patient with other people. Now, when Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth, they were shocked. They were totally amazed because that went completely against their culture. Aristotle wrote, and I put his quote up on the screen for you, but Aristotle wrote these words: self-sacrificing love and non-avenging patience are a weakness unworthy of the noble man or woman. In other words, in the society in which the first Corinthians, or in which the Corinthians church found themselves, they found patience not as a strength, not as a virtue, but patience was a weakness. The strength was revenge. And if you were a strong person, if you were a leader, what you were to do was that you were to get revenge on other people. They did something to you, and we're going to figure out how to get them back. Unfortunately, some people are still living in first century Rome with that attitude. But in the midst of that culture, Jesus comes in, and then later points that out through the Apostle Paul. Paul comes in and says to them, no, we as children of God are supposed to be different. We are supposed to have a different idea. And the idea of patience here and the love through patience is exactly the opposite of what the world was teaching. You see, my primary concern when I am focusing, when I lack patience, my primary concern is about me. And God calls us not to focus on us, not to focus on me, not to focus on what I want, but to focus on the needs of others. Do I wake up each morning and ask myself that question, Lord, how can I be patient with more people? No, normally I wake up and go, Lord, do I really, really have to put up with them? Now, I am convinced by looking out at your faces that I am the only person that asked that question. Well, maybe not. Do you ever sit and say, Lord, I love you, Lord, and I know you tell me to love everyone, but What about them? Do I really have to love them? And how do I love them? I love them by learning to be patient, to not always want what I want. But he says a second thing. He says, love is kind. In other words, what he's saying is love acts out in kindness. It's not just a theory, but it is something that is put into practice. Love acts out in kindness. And the word kindness here is an active word that means goodwill towards others. Having goodwill, having good attitude towards other people. It is a desire for the good welfare of others. Not only is it a desire for the good welfare of others, but it is an activity. In other words, when I am demonstrating kindness, what I'm doing is actively looking for ways to benefit other people. A couple years ago now, I was driving in Tim Hortons, and I ordered a coffee and I think one donut. I think Darlene had me on the one donut a day routine then, and so a coffee and one donut. And I pulled up to the window and I got ready to pay, and the person in front of me had paid for my breakfast, which made me mad that I didn't order two donuts, but they paid for my breakfast. And that changed my whole attitude that day. Of wow, that somebody who didn't know me, and I looked to see who they were, they didn't know me, they had bought my breakfast. They call it paying it forward, and a random act of kindness. And I thought about how good I felt. And then I thought, do I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror at that person who's shaving and say to myself, Jerry, are you going to look for an opportunity to be kind to someone else today? Do we look? God says to us, we are to have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. And God says to us, love is kind. How proactive are we, not just you, me too, how proactive are we at demonstrating active kindness towards other people? How do we talk to other people? How do we respond to other people? How do we share with other people? How do we relate to others? God says to us, that we are called to be kind. And he gives that ultimate example. Paul wrote these same words to, Paul, the writer of these words, also wrote to another church in Rome and said these words, Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? In other words, aren't you glad God was kind to you? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he didn't give you what you deserve? I am. That God would love me so much that he would not give me what I deserve, but he would demonstrate his kindness towards me, and that kindness would be a motivating factor in my life towards repentance. I think that I find in working with people and also in relating to others that when we have a life that demonstrates kindness, it not only has an effect on them, but it has an effect on us, not only in our relationship with God, them, but it also has an effect on our relationship with God. That when I choose to demonstrate acts of kindness to others, it changes my world. It changes how I look at the world. And the amazing thing is, that's exactly what God tells us to do. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now he moves to the negative. And in the next eight statements, what we're going to continue to focus on today and what we're going to focus on next week, the next eight statements are negative statements about love. In other words, it is what love is not. And the first of those, he starts with this idea that love rejects envy and jealousy. That love does not act out in a envious and a jealous manner. Love and jealousy, in some ways, are mutually exclusive. In other words, you cannot have love for others. I guess love and jealousy is not mutually exclusive when the love is for you. But love for others and jealousy are mutually exclusively. You cannot have both together. And it really, jealousy has two forms. The first one is that I want what somebody else has. In other words, I look at what they have and I go, oh, I wish that I had that. In the Old Testament, we use that word covetousness. In other words, we covet or we desire what someone else has. The second one is I wish someone did not have what they had. Now, as believers, sometimes we get real good at kind of hiding this. But we still do it. We just get good at hiding that. Let me give you an example. Have you ever sat and said, why me, God? Anybody ever been, and you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody ever been here and go, why me, God? Why did I get this deal? Why did you allow this to happen to me? And then we go that next step. Why couldn't you made my life like their life? Why couldn't my life been like their life? Why did you give me this? And you can fill out the list. Why did you give me this house? Why did you give me this job? Why did you give me this spouse? Why did you give me these children? Why did you give me this boss? Why did you give me this pastor? Why did you give me this church? Why did you? And what we do is we covet what we think somebody else has that is better than us. Now, having worked with folks for 25 years, kind of one-on-one, and them telling me their secrets, I have something to tell you. Their life isn't that much better either. They just may do a better job of hiding it. But we think that, have you ever come into church and had a down day? And I see this. I stand at the back door and I come into church and people are coming into church and they're looking like this. And they look up and they see somebody standing there at the door and they've got a smile on their face. And so they go. They put the smile on their face. Now, are they happy? No, but it's like, you know what? I'm not good. If everybody else is happy, I'm not going to let them know what's going on with me. And then we look around at all of these other smiling, happy faces and they're going, it's not fair, God. They're so lucky and their life is perfect and everything's going good for them. And sometimes we have a room of 200 people that are going, that are all feeling. Love is not envious of others. Because all of us have issues. All of us have deep hurts. And God has called us as the body of Christ to love one another, not to envy each other, but to build up and to support and carry each other. Some of you may have walked into this room this morning carrying burdens, as I said in the pastoral prayer, carrying burdens that nobody knows but you and God. But God knows. And he has called us as the body of Christ to demonstrate love and patience and kindness towards each other and not to be envious of others that we may believe has life better than we do. Because God knows each of us and stands with each of us alone. But not only is love patient, not only is love kind, not only is love, does love reject envy and jealousy, but also Love doesn't brag. I saw this sign, I've gone to a few conferences where I thought the person should have worn this. Hello, my name is, I'm a genius. I mean, you know, if jealousy puts others down, bragging builds us up. And we need to be cautious, because sometimes it is real easy for us to understand that love does not boast. It's interesting, this word for boast, this is the only place in the New Testament that this word is used. And Paul was talking very specifically because this was a church of people who really, it was all about them. It was all about what they had. It was all about getting ahead. It was all about being better than others. And so rather than being loving, rather than being supportive, they were competitive. And as I look at this, this whole idea of bragging really comes into this desire to have a competitive heart, that rather than looking at how I can build up myself and make myself better, then I'm really looking at what are the needs of the body of Christ. Aren't you glad that God didn't brag? Aren't you glad that Paul could write of Jesus Christ those words in Philippians chapter 2 when he said, and he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant. He didn't brag. That the God of the universe, that through all eternity sat at the right hand of God the Father, came to earth as a child, and made himself nothing, and set aside everything that he had, every advantage that he had, and not only that, he came to the point that he was willing to do the ultimate sacrifice, which was not painful death, which was not just accepting my payment in his place, but I believe that the most painful part for Christ came the moment when his father turned away, and for the first time in eternal existence, there was a rift between the father and the son. And the only reason that happened, the only reason that happened was because he loved you and he loved me. And when I start to understand that, what in the world do I have to brag about? That God would love me that much. That God would love you that much. That he would leave everything that he had and die for me. And die for you so that, Paul says, so that we could be called children of God. Sons of God. And daughters of God, because God loved us that much. And when I began to understand that, when I began to grasp the love of God for me, it changes how I look at others. He loves me that much. But there's a fifth area, and that is that love is not arrogant. It is not proud. You know, we can become arrogant because we believe that we deserve what we've received. But it is only when I come to the point of understanding that I don't deserve what I receive. That God loves me so much that he gives me the gift of a relationship with him. Because God has that degree of love. And so I'm not arrogant. If you spend much time around me, and some of you have, I was excited to see in Bible school, the Bible school supported African Nazarene University. I had the opportunity with some others from the church here a number of years ago to go over to African Nazarene University and to do some work and be part of that. And it was exciting. It's an exciting place. But as we were there and we were sharing, and I love Jim Minton. he's the greatest guy in the world. And the reason being is because he shared a room with me. And I didn't have my CPAP then. And the walls were shaking. And the building was rumbling. Two times they thought there was an earthquake. And he loved me enough that he just stayed with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious of what others have. It's not boastful about what we've done. And it's certainly not arrogant. Jesus said it this way. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And I look at that and I think, well, that's what God calls me to, and that's the desire that God has for my heart, but he's Jesus and I'm not. So how can I be expected to live up to that? And then in Acts, we have another man, Philip. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't an apostle. He didn't walk with Jesus for the 3 years. He was an ordinary guy, just loving God and loving people. And those people picked up rocks. And the very person who wrote these words, love is patient, love is kind, was standing there holding his coat as the first rock was thrown and began to bruise him. And as that final rock was thrown that crushed his skull, before that final moment, Stephen said, Father, God forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And that's the kind of love that he calls me to. And that's the kind of love that he calls you to. So when you walked out last week and you thought, oh good, love's an attitude, I got the right attitude, I'm good, I can skate this week. Well, this week it's not so easy. In just a few moments we're going to be dismissed. And when we walk out those doors, I want you to think this week how you can use these pillars. Who can you be patient with this week? As you sit here and think about these words, what picture is coming to your face when you hear, who can I be patient with this week? Who can I show kindness to? Who can I not envy? Where do I not boast? And God, help me not to be arrogant, because I realize that I am a child of yours, because you love me so much. The special that was sang this morning was so powerful. Sometimes we feel so far away, and God is calling us home. Come home, come home. I'm not even going to try to sing it. Don't worry. You who are weary, come home. He doesn't yell at you. He doesn't scream at you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling you, come home. And love him. And love your neighbor. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you love us that much. Help us to not only recognize that love, but help us to demonstrate that love to others. In this week, as we go out these doors in just a moment and live out our faith, may we live out that faith in tangible ways to those people that you bring across our path. And may we be kind and patient and not envious and not boastful and certainly not proud, because we live in the presence and in the light of your love for us. We pray these things as we go to serve in the name of Jesus Christ, who bore it all. Amen.